This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته brothers and sisters welcome to another episode of the inner dimensions of worship and we have begun to talk about the states and the conditions of our heart and our body during as-salah itself what sort of state we in during the different actions of worship now we come to the Surah Al-Fatiha. This is very, very important, but just before that, we first seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a shaitan. So this is very important, brothers and sisters, to think about that. Because when we are saying these words, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ and there are different variations of this, but the essence of it is, brothers and sisters, to remember and bring to mind that shaitan is your enemy. That shaitan is the one that he is going to try everything to distract you and to divert your attention away from this state of awareness and khushu' that you spent this time, this effort, this mental energy trying to create this environment where you are now fully attentive. Concentrating and focusing the entirety of your being in this beautiful communication between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Him as if you are seeing Him. Shaitan is going to do everything he can to try and divert you and take you away from this focus. He's going to whisper things to you. He's going to try and start trains of thought. So now you are begging Allah. You are asking Allah. You are asking Allah, I take refuge with you, Allah. I seek shelter, I seek protection. I am taking shelter, protection and refuge with you, O Allah, from shaitan, my enemy. It's as if you are saying, O Allah, protect me from this enemy. Keep me safe from this enemy who wants to destroy me and take me away from you. So again, brothers and sisters, say it like you mean it. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg Him, because this is your salvation, this is your eternal salvation at stake here. Maybe this is your last prayer. Imagine, think of it as being your last prayer. So then how will you ask Allah? Protect me, I take refuge with you from shaitan the rejected. So as shaitan was rejected, you and me should also reject shaitan. We should take him as an enemy. And not take him as a friend. So all of this should come to mind, brothers and sisters, when we are saying, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ Now we start with Surah Al-Fatiha. The Prophet ﷺ would really emphasize the importance of reciting Surah Al-Fatiha in the prayer to the extent that the Prophet ﷺ said, there is no prayer for the one who did not recite in it the opening chapter. So according to some scholars, if you do not recite Surah Al-Fatiha in the prayer, it's not valid. You must at least recite Surah Al-Fatiha. In another saying, the Prophet ﷺ said, the prayer is not sufficient in which a man does not recite the opening of the book, Ummul Kitab Al-Fatiha. He also said that he who performs a prayer in which he does not recite the opening of the book, then it is deficient, it is incomplete. So, according to many scholars, reciting Surah Al-Fatiha is the rukun. It's one of the pillars of the prayer. Without it, the prayer is invalid. So the Prophet ﷺ Even in one hadith, he said that Allah, the Blessed and Exalted, has said, I have divided the prayer between me and my servant. So Allah is saying, I have divided the prayer between me and my servant. So that means that Allah, and you'll see that this hadith or this hadith Qudsi is talking about Surah Al-Fatiha. So the point here is that Allah described Surah Al-Fatiha as the Salah. He made it really equal with the Salah. This shows the importance of this surah in the Salah. I have divided the prayer between myself and my servant in two halves. Half is for me and half is for my servant. And my servant shall have what he asked for. So Surah Fatiha, yes, it is a surah of the Quran, but it is certainly full of dua, of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we will see. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah says, my servant has praised me. And when the servant says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah says, my servant has extolled me. And when the servant says, Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah the Exalted says, my servant has glorified me. The servant says, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. It is you alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. He says, this is between me and my servant, and my servant shall have what he has asked for. The servant says, Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim, sirata alladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim wala ad-dallin. So, guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored, not of those who receive your anger, nor of those who go astray. He says, all of these are for my servant, and my servant shall have what he asked for. He also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to say that Allah did not reveal in the Torah or the Injil anything like the mother of the Quran, which is Surah Al-Fatiha. It is the seven oft repeated and the grand recitation which have been bestowed upon me. So this is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would describe Surah Al-Fatiha. So it has a lofty status. These are beautiful and noble and fantastic verses. It is something we have to read or we have to recite in our prayer. And as the Prophet said, that Allah said, this Surah Al-Fatiha is divided into two bits. One bit is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising and extolling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other bit is a type of dua which the servant makes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers and sisters, let us spend a bit of time, insha'Allah ta'ala, and let us go through Surah Al-Fatiha and let us understand it a bit more deeply, because this quality is very important of understanding what you are saying in your prayer. It's very, very important. So we need to understand what we're saying. We need to comprehend what we're saying, because this is our communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first of all, we start with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah. Brothers and sisters, let us think about this. Or anything and everything which a person praises something else for. In reality, all the praise is due to Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provided all the means for this thing to be able to exist. So definitely all praise is due to Allah. And praise is due to Allah, brothers and sisters, under every single circumstances. We should always say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. All praise is due to Allah under all circumstances. Whether the situation seems to be good or bad for us, still All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because these prayers are 5 times every day. Either if you are traveling, or you are sick, or you are fighting in battle, you still have to find time to say the prayer. And in the prayer you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So in every circumstance, whether you are healthy or not, whether you are with money or not, always the praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because, brothers and sisters, everything that happens to the believer is good. Everything that happens to the believer is good. If some bounty or some blessing comes to the believer, it's good for them. Because why? They feel grateful, they thank Allah. But if some difficulty or some calamity or some hardship happens, this is also good. Because through this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expiates the person's sins. He raises their levels in Jannah and allows them to reach a position in paradise which they would not have been able to reach just through their deeds or otherwise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He puts the believer through these things, and everything that happens to the believer is good. Everything that happens to the believer is good, and this is only for the believer. So all praise is due to Allah, all the time, under every circumstances. Rabbil Alameen. What does Rabb? Rabb, the word Rabb means, it means Lord, it means also cherisher and provider. So it is not only Lord in the sense of the ruler, whose laws have to be followed and who has to be obeyed. Rabb is also, it has the meaning of something that cares for that which is under its lordship. So it's not just Lord, but it's a caring Lord. A Lord that cares for the creation, that nourishes it, that provides for it, that sustains it. So Allah is the Rabb, and He is the Rabb of what? Alameen. He is the Rabb of everything that exists, of all creation, of all the worlds. Alameen is all of the worlds. So we'll take a short break and we'll continue with discussing Surah Al-Fatiha afterwards.
Assalamu alaikum. I am Dr. Hussein Hamid Hassan. You are watching Beast TV, The Solution for Humanity.
Images. And depictions of our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have spread around the globe.
May endless blessings be upon thee.
His life is being examined in the glare of the global media spotlight. It is the duty of every Muslim to present to the world the truth of his life and the excellence of his character.
And we have not sent you, O Muhammad, except as a mercy to the universe.
To do this, you have to know your prophet. It's something that you simply can't afford to be ignorant of.
Send your peace on your slave Muhammad.
Study the exemplary personality of our Prophet, peace be upon him, which attracts people of all faiths and nationalities in Know Your Prophet, peace be upon him. Every Tuesday at 8 p.m. and repeat telecast at 8:30 a.m. India on Peace TV.
Many people are misguided by films, the internet, and parties. But the future lies in the youth of today. Will they ever become the leaders of tomorrow? What are their responsibilities? Are they more interested in the worldly life or the eternal life? To understand the mission of our youth, watch me, Arib Islam, only on Peace TV.
Join Arib Islam in Mission of the Youth, next on Peace TV.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum. We're discussing and going through and explaining the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha, this very, very important and essential component of our salah, to understand what we mean. So we talked about Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So brothers and sisters, just opening with these beautiful words of praising Allah, all the praises due to Allah, Lord of all the worlds, it reminds us that we human beings are just one of many, many creatures, all of whom owe gratitude and thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So subhanallah, this is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, the Nourisher, the Sustainer of the worlds. And then we are reminded of two of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, this is the most merciful. This is the Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Rahmah of Allah extends to every single creature and to every single human being, whether they obey and submit to Allah or not. Subhanallah, despite the fact that there are human beings who disbelieve in Allah, who rebel against Allah, who do not follow His guidance, who purposefully, willingly, knowingly choose to turn away from the truth and the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. More than that, they insult Allah. They insult Allah, they deny Allah. Yet Allah still feeds them, clothes them, gives them air to breathe, nourishes them, protects them. This is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the rahmah of Allah. How great is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Ar-Rahman. And then Al-Rahim is a very, very specific type of mercy. And this, the scholars have explained, is a type of mercy that is particular for the believers. And we've already mentioned, everything that happens to the believers is good. So for anyone who is following the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a particular type of mercy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is divided into 100 parts. One part of Allah's mercy is evident in this creation. So the evidence of this mercy of Allah is even the animals. You will find that the mother deer, for example, will, you know, lift her foot not to hurt her child. Just these simple acts that you find amongst animals. This is part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation. But 99 parts Allah has saved for His believing servants on the Day of Judgment. So there is a special type of mercy that is very particular for the believer. And this is Ar-Rahim. This is how some scholars have described it. The most merciful and the particularly merciful. So there is the general mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there is the specific mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is for the believers. And that mercy, brothers and sisters, is manifest and obvious to anyone who sincerely follows Islam. They will see how this guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will transform their life, will make their life better in myriad of, subhanAllah, often even incomprehensible ways. So this is all part of the specific mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the believer experiences and the believer tastes. It's something that one experiences, subhanAllah. And then, subhanAllah, we recite, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Maliki Yawm al-Din means the master of the day of judgment. Yawm al-Din means the day of judgment. That is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us. But before we go to that, let's think about master and owner, because isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the master and owner of everything? Of course He is. But what it means here, brothers and sisters, is that in this life, in this world, Some people are under the illusion that they are masters. They are under the illusion they are masters. You find people call themselves King of Kings. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He will be so angry with those people who call themselves King of Kings. On the Day of Judgment, He will say, I am the King. I am the King. Where are the kings of the world now? This is Maliki Yawmiddin. You see, because on the Day of Judgment, although yes, even in this reality now, Allah is the King. But people in this life can get away with the illusion. They imagine that they are kings. On the Day of Judgment, no one is going to be in any doubt whatsoever. No one is going to be able to imagine, even briefly, that they have any kingship over anything. All such illusions will be shattered on the Day of Judgment. So this is what it means, that Allah is the King, Allah is the Master, Allah is the owner. Whatever you think you own, you will have nothing, because on the Day of Judgment, brothers and sisters, and we have to bring these things to mind when we're reciting Maliki Yawmiddin, remember this, we will be naked, we will be barefoot, we will be uncircumcised. Nothing, brothers and sisters, all your money, all your goods, your house, your car, your clothes, you will have none of that with you on the Day of Judgment. Nothing. It's all left behind. And we are in front of Allah. And then we will comprehend truly who is the owner of everything. That there is not one thing that you have. Not even the clothes to cover your back. Allah is in control of everything. He always is, even now. But there will be no imagining, no illusions. No one will be under any illusions. Who is the owner? Who is the master? This is the Day of Judgment. Reciting this, brothers and sisters, makes us think. Think about death. Think about that day you will stand in front of Allah. You are accountable. This is the day when Allah will ask you about everything, every atom's weight of good, every atom's weight of evil that you have done. You will know about it. Maliki Yawmiddin. Let all of these thoughts and more come to your heart and your mind when you recite these words. So when we know that Allah is the Rabb, He is the creator of the universe. He is the maintainer of the universe. He is the Lord and the cherisher and the nourisher and sustainer of Alameen. And He is Ar-Rahman and He is Ar-Rahim. And He is the master and the owner of the Day of Judgment. What follows from that? What follows from that? إِيَّاكَ نَعَبُدُ. Because reason and common sense will tell anybody who thinks about these facts that the consequence of knowing all of this is that He subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, Allah, is the only one who is worthy of our worship. He is the one who is worthy of our worship. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَالنُّسُكِ وَمَحْيَا وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say that my prayer and my sacrifice and my life and my death, it is all for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Worship is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, because He is the Rabb, He is the Lord, He is the Creator, He is the Master of the Day of Judgment. So why would you worship something or anything other than Allah? It has no permanence. It has no real power. It has no real ability. Money doesn't really have the power to make you happy. The power is with Allah. The idols and the priests and the imaginary gods that you have, they have no real power. None of them. The power and the strength and the ability is with Allah. So, إِيَّاكَ نَعَبُدُ. And what is the essence of ibadah? The essence of ibadah is dua, to ask. That is why, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And you alone do we ask for help. We only ask Allah. You, Allah, are the one that we ask for help. We seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one we supplicate to. He is the one we make dua. And this itself, إِيَّاكَ نَعَبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, is in itself a reminder that we should worship Allah alone, single Him out for worship, and that we make dua to Him, we ask Him. And we should not feel shy to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even for the most insignificant, it may seem insignificant, even a shoelace. Allah loves us to ask Him, loves us to ask Him. He actually is angry when His servant does not ask Him. This is in contradiction to the people of the world, the people of this life. People in this life hate to be bothered. Why are you bothering me? Why are you asking me? SubhanAllah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves that people should ask Him. He loves that people should plead and beg and request from Him. And they should plead and beg and request from Him alone. This is something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach his companions. This level of tawakkul, this level of trust and reliance upon Allah. He used to take bay'ah, the oath of allegiance from his companions, that they would not ask anyone for anything. So even one of them would be riding his camel or his horse, he would drop his crop. You know the thing that you hit the camel with or the horse to make it go faster? He will drop. He will not ask anyone, can you pass me my crop? No. He will get down from his mount himself and pick it up. He will not ask anyone for anything. Brothers and sisters, this is a deep level, of course, of tawakkul, of trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these things and more are all implied when we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So, inshallah, brothers and sisters, implement this, practice this. We will discuss this further in the next episode. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu, Allahu, ya Rabbi, ya Allah. Allahu, ya Rabbi, ya Allah.